Blog Talk Radio.
Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs, being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Y'all get ready.
Yeah.
HTL Automotive's back school Labor Day weekend jam at Dallas Raceway. We got grudge racing. We got three index classes, 7-0, 8-0, and a 9-0 index class. 16 car and bike minimum.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We got a motorcycle street ET. First place, $1,000. And truck.
Uh-huh.
Second place, $200.
Yeah.
Semis, $50. $50 entry fee. Also, the heavy hitters of Texas is sponsoring the ProMont Bike Shootout. $100 entry. Trophy to winner. 100% payout. Check this out. Free school supplies. You heard me?
Free school supplies?
Yeah. $20 admission.
Uh-huh.
And if you bring school supplies, $5 off.
Yeah.
Kids 12 and under free.
Free.
That's free with military ID. Gates open at noon until.
Uh-huh.
Check cards, $10.
Yeah.
Free parking.
Free parking.
See you Saturday, August 31st at Dallas Raceway in Crandall, Texas. It's your boy, Chuck G. Yeah. I got my cowboy boots because it's going to be some kicking in Texas.
Brought to you by HTI.
Hello. Good morning to my Monday morning callers. Man, I hope everyone had a blessed weekend. I hope everyone got out the way all the things they decided to do. Hey, I'm thanks to have you here. Thanks for all the callers that are calling in. We got a pretty good program in front of us this week. Want to say, let's just get it out the way. Let's knock it out. We're here. I got my main man, Jimmy Marino, in with me. One of the spokesmen on the show. Hello, Jimmy. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. Long weekend.
Man, we got a great show ahead of us this morning. Jim got he had a pretty good weekend. Did a little traveling and and he didn't bring any lobster up here with him, but he did a little traveling, folks, and, he made it home safely. I'm glad of that. I got to have this man. Chris is out there standing by. What's up, Chris? Shout out to you. With that being said, we're going to move right along. We got a lot of special guests that are going to be calling in. We're going to definitely finish that show up we started last week on safety. We're going to have Peter Bondo calling in here shortly, and you guys will be able to ask about any safety questions that you may thought you may want, or what type of suits or gloves or shoes are best to suit your application. He will be on to help us out with that. And I'm supposed to have a special guest from up north, the governor of Grudging, Donye, should be calling in later in the show as well. With that being said, we're going to get started. Y'all know how this thing works. I start out every Monday morning with one of the devotions, a small paragraph, and then I go into a small prayer to get things started. This Monday morning, August the 26th, our small devotion is going to be based upon "Who Am I?" Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That passage is from John 1, verse 12. In all of our lives, there are days when everything looks dismal. In times of dejection and depression, it is not uncommon for people to question their identity and the purpose of their life. If you find yourself doing this, remember the glorious heritage that you have received through the grace of God, through your faith in Jesus Christ, and by embracing him as your Savior, life will find new meaning and purpose because you no longer have to search for your identity. You identify with the living Christ and become a child of God. Life can have no greater meaning than that. With that being said, we go into a small prayer. God of grace and love, help me when life is at its lowest ebb to put my hope and faith in you and to cherish the truth in my heart that I am a child of God. Amen. With that being said, amen. If y'all have questions about anything I've read, if you'd like to know where I get this from, you can call my number. You can find it on web, and we can talk about anything under the sun that would motivate you and push you to your voice here for any of that. That being said, we're going to go to the line, a couple of these lines, right, and find out what's going on before we get into the topic. Hold on 1 second here, Tim. Good morning. Welcome to the Bread Man Show.
Bread Man.
Hello?
Yes. Hello, is this Breadman?
Yes, this is Breadman.
Hi, this Peter, is Peter Biondo. This is Peter Biondo.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? I didn't know what number you were going to call from.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Peter, hold 1 second. Your mic is going to be live. I'm going to, I didn't know what number, so I couldn't really introduce you, but let me get my other guy in here that I got. Before we get the show started here. 3194, your mic is hot. 3194, your mic is hot.
Good morning, Breadman. Chris Nelson, how are you today?
Okay. Oh, great, great. How you doing, Chris?
Not too bad. We got a good cast of people in today, plenty of information to dish out there.
Okay, dope. We're going to get started. We got one of the renowned drag racers. I'm going to vote to put this guy in the Hall of Fame. We got him on the line, folks. We got in here the one and only national champion with a many-time national champion winner, Peter Biondo, is on the line. You know what? Hold on, morning, Peter. I'm looking for it here. Chris unhid it from me. Definitely hit my button. I can't find it. They took it off. We got Peter Biondo on the show. I know we have an applause button on here, Peter. That's what I was looking for. We got Peter Biondo. Peter, welcome to the Bread Man One Time Show. How are you this morning? Peter. Peter Biondo.
Breadman, while you try to find him, just for those guys that may not know in the heads up or grudges racing game, Peter's probably one of the winningest sportsman racers in NHRA history, and also a family business that offers a lot of bracket racing aids, whether it be throttle stops or delay boxes for the sportsman class racers as well.
Definitely. Hold on one moment.
Absolutely, and I need a new driving suit, so I need to talk to that gentleman.
856-4447. Your mic is going hot.
Yeah, Brett, man, sorry, this is Peter Biondo. I lost you on the other line, so I called you from a different number.
Oh, no, there you go. Now, I recognize this one right here. There he is, folks. We got Peter Biondo on the line this morning. He is Peter Biondo is one of the renowned, winningest NHRA sportsman racers out here on the circuit right now. He is still active, folks. This guy is not in the Hall of Fame yet, but he's definitely going to have my vote in the Hall of Fame, should he ever decide to retire and allow us to pick his brain so we can learn how to race like he does. He has a small business, family business. Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, how Breadman, I'm doing fine, and I appreciate you letting me on the show. We're on our way to, we got one more day of work, and we're on our way to the U.S. Nationals, so one of the biggest races of the year. So we're pretty excited about that.
Great.
Good luck up there.
Thank you.
Peter.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest races of the year, and we travel throughout the United States sometimes more. I mean, Bretman, I've met you down in the southeast in Florida. We've gone as far out as California. So we hit it pretty hard at times, and this is the time where we're going to turn it up, and it all starts with the U.S. Nationals. So we're pretty excited about that.
Well,
Brad, man,
great,
can I pose
great.
A question real quick to Peter?
Sure, go ahead.
Hey, Peter, do you got any suggestions or tips or a little insider information that helped you mentally prepare going into some of these big races or big rounds of competition? You know, we on the show deal a lot with guys that are grudge racing and may have, you know, high stakes on the line for one pass. And just any tips that you may have for a guy to mentally prepare for a big round and place that stress or pressure outside the race car and, you know, perform under pressure. You have any hints for us?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, whether you're grudge racing for big money or you're in a final round of, let's say, the U.S. Nationals, there's always gonna be a lot of pressure for a short period of time when you're staging up there. And the biggest piece of advice I'll give you is twofold. One, it's preparation beforehand. The more it's kind of like a test. The more prepared you are, the more prepared your vehicle is, the less nervous you should be, and the more confident you should be when that light turns green, so to speak. So just like any other test, when you were a kid and you were in high school studying for an exam, I know. Personally, when I was sitting at that desk on a big exam, if I prepared myself beforehand, I was ready for it when the bell rang to take it. So same thing with this. The first thing I'll say is preparation, vehicle preparation, and yourself. You have to have everything in line as far as, you know, whether it be for our type of racing. It's a lot to do with the preparation of the vehicle as well as the driver practicing on a practice tree and making sure he's confident and sharp. So that's one big thing. Secondly, I'll say another big part of it, you know, racing is at least 80% mental. It's not like a boxing prize fighting match where, you know, one guy's bigger and stronger than the other, and this is a mental game. And so you really have to learn to, when you get up to that line, you have to learn what sparks you to be focused. And you know, some drivers are different than others. I mean, sometimes it's as simple as just when I put it in first gear to start moving towards the pre-stage lights, I take one deep breath, and, you know, and that just clears my mind. And you know, it's all about that bulb at that moment. So There's little things each that can trigger each driver, but sometimes it's as simple as just one deep breath and saying. Sometimes it's, I even say to myself, focus and react, because that's what it's all about. There should be no thinking involved. It should be all about a focus and a reaction.
Yeah. Speaking of preparation and the mental being 80%, or as you say, mental. Do you ever change your routine and try a little mental warfare against the driver or the opponent that you have in the other lane, or do you stick to your guns and just do the same thing every time?
I absolutely stick to my guns. I have a routine, and I get, when you have a routine, your subconscious gets used to it as well. And once you start trying to change your routine to try to maybe throw the other guy off, you're really gonna, to some degree, throw yourself off, in my opinion. So I stick to my routine. I believe in my program, and I'm confident in my program. And you know, when the other guy puts a better run down and beats me, then I tip the cap to him.
Yep, that's good. I agree with Peter completely. That's always been my big thing. I'm probably a little more it's a little more critical to me than maybe some, I think, and maybe not. But you know, I want to see the same person in front of me doing the same exact thing every time. I want to, you know, I stretch to all my guys who race with me. Look, I don't care if it's a big run or if it's a test run. If you want me to do what I need to do, don't do anything different. Do what we always do every time. If you guys don't change your routine, I don't have to change mine. And that helps me. And as soon as that changes, that's what throws me off. When someone tries to take this run more serious than every other run and try to do something better or different, it throws me off every time. So that's what I stress to my people, is don't do anything different on any given run than you always do.
Yep, don't make it bigger than it is. Like you just pointed out, Fred, man, every run is, it's, for me anyway, I do a lot of, obviously, the NHRA and bracket racing. For me, it's the same tree, it's basically the same formula to turn the wind light on. So I put my best run down, and like you say, there's different ways of thinking. There's different, some people try to do what they can to take their other guy to mess the other guy up, but to take the other guy, their opponent, out of their routine. But I mean, and I have earlier in my day, I've mixed it up a little bit, but it seemed like every time it seems like the more I stick with my what gets me from A to B best, and what puts down my best runs is what turns most wind lights on. And take yourself out of the game, out of your routine, whether it's in a small way, a subconscious way, or a big way, it seems to lessen your chances of winning that round.
Right. Well, Peter, I want to thank you basically for just sharing that. We want to get back to basically why you're on here. We brought you on because last week we had a topic about safety, and we had our friend, great friend of ours called Big Drag, his car burned down. And, you know, the driver got out safe and found. And, you know, it prompted me to, you know, let everybody in the grudge world know what are some of the SFI ratings and what are the different things that we can purchase that your company has that would better our chances of getting out of Inferno fire and being safe on the track. Could you give us a little brief about the company in which and the product that you have?
Sure.
Your family has. Go ahead.
Sure. My company is a family-owned company started by my father. It incorporates our last name in the company, which is Biondo Racing Products. My father started it, 1987. We started out selling practice trees and mostly electronics and more bracket racing driver's aids like delay boxes and electric shifting. And then to hit on what you just said, Brad, then just recently, and it more or less sparked from myself being in an accident, and you talk about being on fire. I was in a pretty bad accident and caught some fire, and that's you really don't think about the safety aspect until something like that really happens to you or somebody close to you. And it happened to me, and shortly thereafter, it kind of got our mind thinking about safety, and we expanded our business into the like you said, driving suits and helmets and all kinds of safety gear as well. So we're Sparco USA distributor in the United States. It's Sparco's that makes fire suits, a well-known company, make very quality stuff from the Dash 1, SFI 1, all the way up to the SFI 20, and we're their biggest distributor in the United States for drag racing.
Hey, very good.
Peter, on the topic of safety, I got a question for you. At the racetrack, mm-hmm. a lot of these, I was in Norwalk this weekend, and they've got a sand pit at the end of the racetrack. Have you ever mm-hmm. been in a situation as a driver where maybe no chute or a throttle hung up and you know you're going into the sand and how you mentally prepared for that? Because I had a customer of mine this weekend that ended up in the sand, and he came back telling me his story of that was his second time and how the first time went bad and the second time went flawless. And I just wondered if you could share some stuff with us on that.
Absolutely, and you're definitely talking to something that hits home with me, because I was down at a track in Florida, actually, and I was on let's just call it the were you saying no parachute? Well, I had no brakes and no parachute, so I that certainly hits home to me, and I made the biggest mistake that I'll share with you guys that I'll never make again is whenever you go to a facility, I always go down to the end now and say, what if I lose my brakes? What are my options with this car? What if I don't have a parachute? And you look at your options down there and take a look at the landscape of the shutdown area, because I didn't do it that day. And there happened to be no sand trap. And I blame it totally on myself that we lost the brakes, and I blame it totally on myself that I never looked to see what options were. But that's my biggest. I'd say that's the best advice I'll give you is always look at what options are down there, and if you did lose your brakes or parachute, so you can prepare beforehand and not have to try to figure it out in the moment. If everything happens so fast, and then B, you know, obviously in your car, what can you do if you do lose the brakes or do not have a parachute? What are you going to do? And I didn't do either one of those, and I got myself into a bunch of trouble and went into the forest and hit a tree head on at the end of the track, as bad as that sounds.
Well, just to expand on that, Mark Mickey was my driver this weekend in Norwalk, Ohio, and had been in the sand before and ended up rolling the car in the sand pit because he tried to go in it sideways, sliding the car around the corner. Well, as soon as he hit the sand, he barrel rolled it. Well, on his second adventure into the beach, he remembered his experience from the first one. And no matter what, he knew he was hitting it straight on. And when he hit it straight on, he skimmed right across the top of it, did very little damage to the car, and ended up on the other side of it, stopped in the grass field. So we made the next round of qualifying with a little bit of paint loss, and that's about it, as opposed to the loss of the car on the first time. So having a game plan or learning from other people's misfortunes in that scenario is very key. And what Peter said about going and learning what you're up against before you get into that situation, you may feel like, oh, I've done this 10 times, it's a waste of time, but it only matters that one time when it saved your life, possibly, your parts or your car or your livelihood, you know, if you were to get injured. So that's a very good tip that he passed on, to go down there and just know your options, you know, if you do get in trouble, because things are happening very, very quickly. So,
yes, you get to... I mean, I've raced for 12 years before that. That accident was about 8 years ago, and I raced 12 years before that accident. And you kind of get complacent in going down the track, coming back, and you really don't think anything's going to happen to you until it actually does. So that's a great point. And yeah, like just to touch on something you had just said, they always do say just go into the sand straight in. And go right into the sand stop. Even if you're going 100 miles an hour, 150 miles an hour, they say that's your best bet.
Yep. Very much so, and I can attest to that from experience this past weekend.
But Jim, you wanted to basically talk about the driving suits. You said you needed one, Jimmy.
Yeah, I actually talked to Peter a while back at one of the PRI shows, and now I'm ready I'm needing a suit. And I know, you know, you walk around the pits, especially at the grudge races, and you see a lot of people with outdated SFI 5 suits. And probably outdated helmets and a lot of other stuff. Peter, can you tell us what is the threshold of what an SFI 5 suit is really suited for, when you should go to a 15 suit, when, you know, in a 20 suit and so on, and same with helmet technology, and, you know, what should people be wearing? At what point, and at what, obviously the better stuff is better no matter what you're in, but at what point should you really be looking to upgrade from a 5 to a 15 suit?
Okay, well, that's a great question. I mean, the helmets are a little bit easier, cut and dry, and then I'll get into the suits, but the helmets, for the most part, yeah, there are some FIA-rated helmets that have higher ratings than the Snell SA 2010 rating, but for the most part, if you have a Snell rating, a current Snell rating, which is now SA 2010, or even SA 2005, that's enough. You know, through all of the testing they did with crashes and whatnot, that's enough to cover all of drag racing. The helmets are pretty much SA 2005 or SA 2010. Anything before that is 2000, is the year 2000. They're good for 13 years helmets. So anything in 2000 would expire 2013. But so helmets are pretty cut and dry. Now the suits is, and I will mention we did expand to suits. I'm sorry.
Chris, go to mute right quick. Background.
Okay. Yeah, we expanded to suits, and then we expanded to helmets shortly thereafter. So we carry a lot of Simpson and Sparkle helmets now as well. But the suits is probably our focal point in the safety business. And to answer your question, the way it really works is the higher the SFI rating, the longer it could withstand a fire without burning the driver. So I don't know the exact numbers, but let's just say a 20 suit, being the thickest one, is going to withstand maybe 5 times the amount of time in a fire than a 5 suit, or 4 times. So to simplify it to you and your racers there and that are listening in. To simplify it, it's all about how long to withstand fire, and the SFI 1 is a single-layer suit. That's more for guys that are going 10 seconds and slower. The SFI 5 is the biggest seller, and that's the one I would go with. Even if you're in a 10-second car, it's still the Sparkle lightweight SFI 5 is still very thin. But it has a 3 layers of protection, so it's a good happy medium. That's the most popular suit to go with is the SFI 5.
Okay.
You want it? The SFI 15 and 20s are going to probably be overkill for most of let's say 8 and 9 second cars. But I guess because there's more of a chance when you start getting into nitrous equipped and faster cars like low 7 seconds and. Then they require a 15 suit, and you know, when you start getting to nitrous, there's more chance, and you start getting to the faster cars, there's more chance of let's face it, there's more chance of an explosion with nitrous, there's more chance of an accident with going faster speeds. So at that point, low 7 seconds, they want you in a 15 suit. From 750 to break it down from 750 to 10 seconds, a 5 suit. If it was me, I'd be wearing a 5 suit, seeing fire firsthand in front of my face. I'd be wearing a dash 5 suit no matter what, if I was in a 12-second car.
Yeah, and the majority of the cars of the, you know, the people who are listening in are really cars that would fall in, and we mostly do 8 mile racing. Mostly are cars well into the 5 second range. Say they're, you know, 5 seconds to eighth. And a lot of them are in the 4 second range. So an 8 mile, which translate to, you know, 7 second cars, low 8 second, 7 second cars. And like I said, you see some people with ones, you see some people with fives, and they're, and a lot of them are old five suits, you know, where they're, they've got tears in them and everything else. And I know of one, I only know of one guy that I personally know who's been in a bad accident that involved fire that was injured from it, slightly injured. And that is Baldy's driver, Smoke. And I know it took him a little while to get over the burn injuries and all that. And just to see that, that changed my attitude towards it, because when you know somebody and you know that they know what they're doing and they can drive, there's no doubt about that. It can happen to anybody. And when it does, you can't add safety equipment after, in the middle of the accident or after the accident. You've got what you've got. So to see that, it scares me to see some of these people looking like with big drags car. It kicked the rods out apparently going down track in a 6 second pass in the quarter mile, and it literally, Peter, it burned to the ground. There's nothing left from the wing to the nose is gone. His driver got out safe, and he's lucky, and he probably had the safety equipment on that he needed to. But to see that happen, I can't think of a worse way to go.
Jimmy, I'd like to expand on that point you just made there a little bit, because, you know, I talked to Mitch, which is Big Drag's driver, and he was actually, from burn injuries, he got a little spot on his ankle where he had tennis shoes on and his short socks, which he now learned from that. But at the same time, he had a head restraint system that was built into the seat to where he sat in the car and then hooked himself up. He really thought he was going to be a loss with the car at the same time, because in his haste, the parachutes burn off. He had trouble getting the car stopped. He was sliding around in his own oil on fire. He got his seat belts off, but he couldn't get away from the head restraint system in the car. So that's one thing that he said he's going to do going back, is go through these scenarios when he gets back in the car of, okay, how fast can I get out of this car with my eyes closed, because I probably won't be able to see if I'm in a hurry, you know. And he said he took one big gulp of air when he saw a clear patch and, you know, thought, oh, I'm in trouble. And he ended up getting pulled out of the car by the racer that he was going down the racetrack with. So that was a big attribute there. But also something that you need to be aware of is when you're wearing all these systems and you get a 20-layer suit and the head restraint system and gloves and all this stuff on, you know, give yourself a dry run of doing this stuff in a hurry. And, you know, Peter talked about helmets and snow ratings and things like that. I had a guy in here the other day, runs low 4 second range, and he's got some Walmart motorcycle helmet on. And I said to him, I said, you need to upgrade your safety equipment. You got a high dollar program, and you got, you know, that helmet's fine. I said, well, if you got a $50 head, have a $50 helmet. I said, if that's all you respect yourself, you know, your safety, then, you know, that's on you. But how can you put a price tag on what some of this equipment costs when it saves your life? So, you know, give guys like Peter a call, ask them some questions, you know, go with their recommendations. They're only trying to save you and err on the side of caution.
Great.
Well, with that being said, fellas, we got some callers that have been dying to see, you know, ask Peter a question or whatever. I don't, you know what his schedule is. He is headed to Indy trying to get his mind right. So let me throw a couple callers at him. Caller 404-1304, your mic is hot.
Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Fine.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine. One thing I just wanted to make a comment on when you said, like, you know, how you prepare for a big round and everything, I think your crew have a lot to do with it, too. You got to be confident with your crew or what they do in order for you to be comfortable, I think. That's one of my opinions, you know, and there's, without a good crew, in a good car and a good driver, it ain't nothing. You know, everybody got to click on the same cylinder. And I think, you know, as long as you put your crew on doing what they had to do and you ain't got to go back and double check them and all that type of stuff, I think that tells a lot what a driver was getting mentally prepared to.
And it also creates confidence.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point on that. The crew around you, and I could tell you, I've driven for different teams throughout the 20 years I've been racing, and you hit it right on the head. I think that's a great point. The crew around you, not only do they have to have all their I's dotted and T's crossed, but they also, you guys have to fit well together, and the overall vibe that the crew brings to the driver can make you feel that much more comfortable when you're staging up.
As far as safety, I think the crew, if you got a driver that kind of lacking safety, I think the crew needs to step up and, you know, hey, driver, you know, your life more important than the car or whatever. You know, if you don't want to step up, then something wrong with that part. But I think all drivers should keep a Zeus tool on them. I think one crew member, a lot of these guys got four, five guys with them. It don't make sense that everybody got to stay at the starting line. I think one guy needs to be on the track waiting on it. And if something do happen, if you got a crew member down there, a lot of times he can react a lot quicker, know where to go and what to do quicker than someone down there that don't know the car. But then again, that's just one of my opinions, because a lot of these guys do run with four, five crew members, but everybody's standing up there at the starting line, and when something do happen, everybody take off running, but ain't nowhere in the world you can get down there. But to me, somebody needs to be at the end of the track that's part of your crew at all times, just in case. What is Zeus crew? That's something else. Don't do you no good down there without a Zeus crew.
Great point.
Absolutely.
But that's my opinion, though.
I like the way he thinks. I like the way this caller thinks. He hit on a lot of good points here, and one of them being the communication and the vibe that the crew brings to the driver. It's so important. There should be one main guy that really is the driver's, let's say, right hand man or main crew chief, and he should be the go to guy in it, and that should be communicated beforehand. Before the race stages up, because if something was to happen, like the caller says, and it's not communicated, then it could be who's doing what, and everyone's looking at each other, and nobody knows what's who's doing what. It could be a circus up there, and that's a recipe for disaster.
If you have a good time up there, Andy, you be safe, and God bless you. Click me out.
All right, nice talking to you.
Well, with that being said, I had maybe five guys, but when he said what he said, they all took their hands down, Peter. But I want to ask you also, Peter, what does the average suit that you guys put out? You have I know what I paid for mine, but what are you? Do you have any sales, or where can they go and find your product? I wanted you to get that out so all our callers and listeners can know, because
Good.
We are in Grudge, where most I go to Summit or Jigs to order their stuff. Go ahead, Peter.
Sure, you can actually view some of the options at BiondoRacing.com. That's our website, our storefront. It's B-I-O-N-D-O Racing.com, and we have a section all on fire suits, safety helmets, and even some of those head and neck restraints that you guys spoke of. As far as the fire suits go, we're heavily stocked always. We, like I said, we're Sparco's basically drag racing representative in the United States, so we heavily stock with Sparco, and the Dash 5 is the main suit we sell. You can go with the Jade Dash 5, which is the more economical version, or you can go with the Pro Light Dash 5, which is the lightest weight one. Both of them are very nice suits, or you can just call us direct at 800-332-1320. I'm actually answering the phones. I'm here today, like I said, before I leave for India. And when I'm not here, it's a family-run business, my wife, as well as my brother-in-law, my brother, and my father. We're all here manning the phones and ready to help.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That Dash 5 suit, what would you say 8-mile time that would cover?
Well, I would say East Mile time up to about 450, 460.
Okay.
I think 449 or quicker, you should have a 15 suit. That's considered advanced DT, but 450, I believe it is, yes. Or I just read it here. 450 or slower, you could go with the Dash 5. 449 or quicker, they want you to wear a 15 as per the rules.
Peter, one thing I'd like to point out, that when I make recommendations to customers of mine or people that I race with, I look at the construction of the race car as well. If you've got some fiberglass body, aluminum firewall, like an older, you know, pro car, chassis car, I think that is a scenario where you need a thicker suit because it has less fire resistance in the firewall and in the body. Or a car that's, you know, maybe a factory floor pan with a steel firewall and, you know, a steel body construction car. You know, it has a little bit more resistance to the fire than, you know, a carbon or glass body with aluminum firewall. So that's another aspect that I would look at any speed. I mean, you could be out there in a super gas car with an aluminum firewall and a fiberglass body and not have much fire resistance, although you're only going 990. You could have fire inside the car very quickly. So that's just one thing that I also look at in making an educated decision on which suit to wear, is also the car construction that you're going to be driving.
That's a great point. And just so just to simplify things again, the Dash 5 suit is definitely the suit of probably 80% of the suits we sell are Dash 5 suits. So I think it's because they're budgeted not safety versus budget. It's a pretty good happy medium between all of the suits that we sell. The Dash 1 is really, you know, it only has one layer in it. It's better than nothing, but it's not as much protection or as much protection I feel comfortable with in most of my cars. The Dash 5 is a good happy medium for I'd say 80% of the market out there that are listening right now.
Wow. Well, Peter, I want to thank you for coming on, first of all, and sharing business. And I want to also, you know, wish that you, you know, enjoy yourself at Indy, the granddaddy of them all. I mean, I know I've always looked forward to racing there, but they never let the Super Street guys come in there. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So many cars.
Yeah. Well, I met you down in Bradenton, right, Breadman? Didn't we meet down at the track one time?
Yes. That's where I reside. So, yep. You know, you know, I look forward to running Indy one day. Hopefully they you know, open it up, and it's just so many cars go there. It's awesome. But I look forward to hearing your name, you know, on the little show they have this weekend. I know that you're going to give it your all, and I wish you and your family luck. I know, how's Sal going to race too?
Sal and I, we try to alternate races a lot, as much as we can, because one of us stays home to run a business more so, and one of us races. So we don't go to the same races all the time now that we're heavily involved in the business. But, no, he's not coming to this one. It's just gonna be me representing out there this time.
Oh, well, you guys do a great job. And I want to thank you for coming on. And I'm sure that we're going to, you know, promote the sales from this show. I just feel like I'm giving back just educating our callers on basically what we need to do the things we'd love to do. Chris, Jimmy, any other questions for Peter?
You know, to expand on what you're saying, there's shows like this where we can, you know, manufacturers and proven racers alike can, you know, shed some light on, you know, and educate the consumer. And there's no better customer that, you know, I have an engine shop. There's no better guy to call the line that's educated, knows what he needs, asks the right question, and is aware of what he's getting and also what it takes to, you know, get the job done. So guys like Peter with lots of experience sharing their stories and to save some people in the future, you know, having to go through and learn from experience. they can just listen and learn from a guy with such experience, and they'll avoid some of the pitfalls that they could encounter if they, you know, were just ignorant to what could happen to them.
I think that's a great point, and I think ignorance is, you know, I don't want to sound make it sound like a negative deal, because I had it myself. It's more so you just don't think about it. It's like anything else in life that happens that's quote-unquote bad or harmful. You don't think about it until it's too late. And I was in more than one accident, I'm sorry to say, and I had two pretty bad wrecks. And, you know, I'm relatively young, I'm 42, and I've already had two really, hopefully that's the last of them, knock on wood, but I've had two really bad wrecks, and I can tell you, even between the first and the second one, there was six-year difference in, you know, six-year gap, and you start getting complacent again, like, because I made 1,000 runs in those 6 years. So don't get too complacent, don't get too comfortable ever. And always think about the what-ifs, because it could save you quite a bit of frustration and agony in the long run. And I'm not saying to go overboard. I'm not saying to get more than what you need or spend more money than what you need to spend. But let's face it, we're all in race cars. We all put the time and money into it. I'm a big proponent of putting on safety, especially because I had two accidents. And I'm lucky to be walking in. If you saw one of the cars, guys, you wouldn't even think I should be walking right now. That's how bad it was, and I walked right away from it. I was lucky. But learn from what almost happened to me to benefit your lives.
Peter, that being said, how did you mentally prepare after the crash to get back in the race car and, you know, face your fears of, you know, what had just happened? What were some of the things that you used to calm your nerves and, you know, regain confidence in, you know, driving a race car at that level?
Well, I was driving two different cars at the time of the crash. So actually I hopped in there. I went to the hospital that night, but hopped in the car the next day, my other car. So it was basically that quick when I got back in. And I can remember waking up that morning, and I had some anxiety about getting in, obviously, because of what I just went through. But the way I always try to look at things is logically and put it in perspective. And I kept telling myself, you've made thousands of runs down the quarter mile. Don't let this one run throw everything that you did off. You know, you can, and that kind of gave me the confidence. And I said to myself, I don't want to think about this for another week or a year or whatever. I just want to go right back down the track. And, yeah, I'm going to be a little bit nervous letting the button go or pressing the gas on that this next run. But once I got through that one run, which I knew this would be the case, I was fine. All it needed was that one run, get back on the horse kind of deal.
Good deal.
Wow.
So my advice would be just look at it logically. Don't overreact to it. I mean, I knew two mistakes we made. One was the biggest mistake was mechanical. We didn't have the brake rod adjusted properly, so it came out of the master cylinder, and that was the mechanical part. But the second thing was I wasn't really prepared for the what ifs at the end of the track, and I looked at it logically, and I knew what happened. I knew why it happened, and I also knew why I made many, many hundreds of runs with being safe. So I try to put it all in perspective, and that's my advice. If you have one bad run, don't. And that doesn't only go for accidents. That goes for a bad reaction time, a bad move in a grudge race, if you flinched or something like that. Don't overreact to it the next time around. Just bring yourself back, just like a scale needs to be zeroed out. Just bring yourself back to zero and do what you've been doing for forever and doing it right.
Great info. You guys have any other questions? Nobody's beeping in, and Peter, I didn't want to hold you up the whole time, but I do want to extend anytime you want to get on the show, give us a call if you got anything you want to talk about or any concerns.
New product to promote?
Yeah.
Well,
yes.
And that goes the same to you guys. Breadman, shoot me a text or whatever if you ever want to talk again, and I'll be glad to. You guys are good people, and I enjoy talking to the racers and hopefully giving something back from time to time.
hey, we love to have you on whenever you like to come on. And like I say, I wish you great success in Indy, and you know, hopefully everything goes well for you, and you hold a Wally up. And I, that's the one thing I also want to ask you too, before you get off the line. What do, when you won your first Wally, what did that feel like? Because that's what I would love to do one day.
Well, mine was, when you win your first Wally, period, it's special, and I'll get into that a little bit. But I won my first Wally at the U.S. Nationals in 1993. And my father was there. So,
welcome,
and my father's
in. Yeah.
Yeah. So being the fact that my father was there, and he didn't come to too many national events with me, maybe one or two a year at most, but also the fact that it was the U.S. Nationals, I can tell you it was a high, that an adrenaline rush. It was, I mean, it's hard to explain. It's just the highest of highs. I mean, you drive down a return road, and the fans are going crazy and cheering at you, and you know, then you start to say, you know, this is what John Force feels like, and it's pretty cool. It really is. They make you feel so special. You know, you go on a big stage, they interview you. So winning that first Wally, it was very, very cool. It's the highest of highs, but it also keeps you hungry, and made me hungry. I said, man, I want to try this again. That was great. It definitely keeps you coming back. I'm trying to relate it to everyday life. It's really hard, because it's just, like I said, it's a euphoria that, you know, you did everything right for that day, and you're basically being patted on the back by thousands and thousands of fans and the whole NHRA staff and your family, and you're proud, you're happy, and it's really, really a special deal for anyone who hasn't won a Wally or a big grudge match, or you know, I would say keep your head up and keep going at it, because once you get there, it's gonna be worth it.
Wow, I look forward to it one day, Peter. And I want to thank you again.
It doesn't always have to be the Wally. It could just be, I mean, whatever your goal is. It could be winning $1,000 on a Saturday night, pro or foot break $1,000 race on a Saturday night. You know, that could be your ultimate goal, and if that's what it is, that will make you feel just as good as that Wally. I mean, you'll have, it's a smaller scale, but if that's your ultimate goal, or any driver's ultimate goal, grudge race, what have you, you'll get the same kind of feeling of accomplishment.
Peter, I know a lot of racers are superstitious. Do you have any strange superstitions of it yourself?
I don't have any superstition. My main thing is, deal with my racing program is just to be focused on what I need to be focused on, you know, take care of the details I need to take care of, and keep shove everything else out the window, anything I don't need to be worried about. And to me, superstition is just one of those things that, you know, I try to keep 100% of focus to what counts, and I'm not a very superstitious person.
I gotcha.
I'm more
a lot
about
of racers out there. Are.
Yeah, there are. I'm more about attention to detail and to what counts.
Well, a lot of people always tell people good luck and this and that. I'm not personally believe in luck. I think people make their own way, and results follow accordingly. And you know, guys like yourself that are focused and, you know, run a tight ship and pay attention to their program, they have good results in turn. You know, luck, I don't really feel, has anything to do with it. People put themselves in a position to where others call it luck, and I myself just think it's, you know, good karma.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Well, with that being said, Peter, you can hold the line and listen in, and hopefully if no other callers. If y'all have any calls for or any questions for Peter, you can hit the one button, and as soon as I see that one open, he took his hand back down. Hit the one button, and I'll pick you up right quick. Hold on. Got a caller, 1304. You're a mic. Go ahead, caller.
One more quick thing about safety that he put on the good part. That, I think a lot of safety start at the shop. It don't start at the track. It start at the shop. And like you say, sometimes you neglect to check things. the crew and the driver. But I think it's a firm thing that the car needs to be going over at the house. If you ain't got time to go over it at the house, when you get to the track, you need to make time to go over a little simple thing like the stern rod, the brake rod, so brake caliber, stuff like that there. Or got a little leak, don't wipe it down, find out why it's leaking. I think a lot of that stuff has to deal with being with safety and forbid the guy from behind you or the guy, you know, coming behind you from being in an accident. I think anything happened. We was up at Commerce Friday night testing, and a guy went down the track and was spraying out something, and we went behind and we cleaned up everything and we made a decent pass behind, and the guy went right back out there, and unfortunately he crossed up and tapped the wall. And to me, you know, if you knew your car was leaking before you went, you must don't care about your life. It could have been a lot more costly, a lot more serious, but he walked away. The car was damaged a little bit, but I think a lot of safety start at the house by rolling the car out the trailer and checking the car from head to toe. But again, that's just my opinion.
I think that's a great that's something that we really didn't touch on as much, and we I probably should have, and I thank you for adding that. The preparation of the car at home. We forget sometimes that these cars are vibrating and things vibrate loose. They, you know, the engine, the high RPMs going down track, and we take it for granted. I see friends of mine that make hundreds of passes in a year, 300 passes a year in their dragster. They don't even look at simple things like a head is loosening up or the collector is loosening up. You know, stuff like that, and that's a great point. Needs to be hit on a lot more in this sport. Is the preventive maintenance?
Maybe, like you say, maybe yours.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But that's all I want to say. A lot of it just started at the house. I feel like, you know, if you don't have time to do it at the house, get to the track an hour or two earlier, and instead of sitting around talking trash, check the car out.
That's a great point.
Preventive maintenance is should definitely not go unnoticed here. That's a great point.
Well, that being said, we got to pay the bills. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back live to all the calls. We're going to open up lines, and we're going to discuss nitrous banking and different nitrous setups that we may have that individuals wanted to discuss a couple weeks ago. Going to a commercial.
Grudging is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found.
Hey, Breadman.
Grudging will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically
to your Quick Rick's on the phone. He's the guy I'm putting the race together with down here in Palm Beach in December.
Number one online shop site, 2013. Get ready for Grudging's Rust Store.
Hold on a minute.
More details to follow soon.
Okay.
In the process. We're back live. Come on, one. I'm clearing the mic. Thank you for holding. Hold on 1 second. Callers, I'm back. For some reason, I was having a problem with the board here. It wouldn't allow me to do the things necessary for the commercials, the other commercials to come in and pay these bills. I do want to thank Peter again for coming in and talking. If you guys have any questions, he is sitting idle right now, and you know, I can open the mics and let you guys talk, but right now I want to get back to Chris and Jimmy. Y'all had something you wanted to add to everything. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, myself, I wish Peter and all the products and devices that they sell delay boxes, you know, throttle stops and all this stuff. I wish he could invent something that sped up people's reaction time, because I sure could have benefited from that some this weekend.
Hold on a minute. Let me get him.
I have a comment, but I'm keeping mine to myself from my weekend experience. We'll get into that later.
What, were you going to ask how much that 3X fire suit was?
No. I just wanted one to make sure that you want one to speed up the reaction time. I want one to make the car, makes the trans brake button work just a little bit better. That's all.
A stage limiter.
Yeah. That's an inside joke, callers. That's an inside joke.
Callers, for this weekend, 24th, yes, the 24th in Macon National Drag, the zoo, for our announcement this week. And what went on there? You were there live. Tell us what went on.
We had a good race up there this weekend. It was the Dan Parker benefit race. I think it was we attended with one car, and I think that, you know, the weather held some people back. The threat of weather, although we never had it rain, that threat, I think, held some people back. So it was decent. The turnout was decent, but it could have been better. We went up there specifically for the purpose of the benefit. We felt it was a good cause. Dan Parker's a good man. I didn't know him. Don't know him personally. I know a lot of people who do, and I like where he comes from and the way I understand the type of person he is. So we wanted to make sure we attended that. With that being said, they had a 28 and 29-inch tire shootout. They also had a Pro Mod shootout with some local Pro Mod cars. I didn't get to see much Pro Mod racing because every time we got back from a run, that's when they were going up there to run, so I didn't get to watch those guys. But we were getting the car ready for the next run. Track was decent. It was actually better than I would have expected considering the weather they have had up there in the last week and a half. I understand it's been raining quite a bit. I actually saw a picture of the track almost completely underwater. And I don't know how much prior to the race that was. But considering the amount of rain they had, the track was better than expected. We got out there, went right down the racetrack first pass, saw some guys go on the bumper. Little Rick came out there and showed his stuff, part of the Killing Time crew, and won the race and showed what he had, and congratulations to him for that. Well deserved. He by far had the best car there and deserved to win that race.
Good deal.
We unfortunately went out first round with a little trans brake problem. So
call Peter Biondo for that staging limiter, and he'll get you squared up.
Yeah, he'll get me squared away with that.
Yeah,
they make one of them Bluetooth.
That could be the next. That could be the next Bluetooth technology incorporated into drag racing. That might be the next stage in the next decade. Who knows, right?
Every crew member with a button, the quickest one to let go wins.
We need a photo cell that shoots the beams out, the light, so no one can go red.
All I had to do this weekend was knock on the window and tell them to go. So that was no big deal.
With that being said, we went out first round, but there was some good racing. There were some really good cars there, and we enjoyed being up there, although we left a little early because our business was done. We thought it was a great cause and definitely had a good time up there. I don't know what else we had. I know there were some good cars there. Tony Bynes is up there with three cars. They said Lil Rick was there. There's quite a few other cars that I didn't know. Pizza Man, I guess, out of Chicago was helping put the race together or put the race together. He was up there. Unfortunately, he had a little ignition box issue that we weren't able to get worked out. But he was up there, and his crew cooked food for everybody, and I appreciate that. Thank you all if you're on the line for the food, and it was we all had a great time.
Great.
Well, good deal. There's some other racing action this weekend. I was in Norwalk, Ohio for the NMCA race, and had a really good turnout. Had a new winner in Pro Street, which is Steve Somers. He reset the mile an hour record at 2:54. And also won over Jeff Lutz in the final. One of our customers, Mark Mickey, he was low qualifier and won Super Street. That continued his undefeated streak for this season. He hasn't qualified worse than number one and hasn't lost a round of competition all year. And they're preparing to go to Yellow Bullet Nationals this weekend and then finish that up at ADRL, which they lead the points in the drag radial for the Battle of the Belts. So that was some action there. Another customer, Phil Corndog Smith, he runnered up in Extreme Street to the winner, Bob Curran. So there's some good heads-up action there. A lot of records fell on that great facility, and which was a testament to the racetrack surface in the middle of the summer, and their guys are out there knocking down mile-an-hour and ET records. So there's some five-second Pro Street passes made, you know, records across the board. So really great weekend of racing.
Right.
Good deal. They
had a Heads Up Madness at Bradenton. Did anyone hear anything about that?
It
rained out after first round of qualifying.
Yeah, and then rain. So good show of cars. It was about eight cars on average per class, which for the summer in preparation for some of these big races that are coming up with Yellow Bullet and Ducks Race right around the corner. A lot of guys are still preparing for those races. And, you know, those eight-car fields, they were pretty fair for a summertime Florida event. And, you know, so that wasn't too bad. Looks like they're going to have a pretty good program moving forward.
Well, in Florida drag racing always picks up towards, you know, when it starts to cool down, when the other states actually start to get cold, we really pick up our program here as far as, you know, car counts and all that every year.
Who can blame them? Who wants to put on a 3285 fire suit and you can go out on the boat?
Yeah, exactly. But we do, I'd like to throw out there a couple races coming up in Florida at the end of the year when it starts to cool down at the other. This is following, you know, Mike Hill's year-end finale and a lot of the other big year-end stuff going on up in the Carolinas and Georgia and Alabama. November 30th, Crew Chief is going to be putting on a race over at Sunshine Dragway. I'll let him get on at some point and announce the classes he's going to run, but I think tentatively they're looking at some small tire shootout stuff, maybe possibly a top sportsman shootout. So some other stuff, and he'll confirm all that. But that is definitely November 30th, which is 2 weeks prior to Baldy's finally announced his race coming up the 13th, 14th, and 15th of December at Orlando Speed World. So that's definitely coming up. Baldy's races are
Change of venue.
It's going to be at Orlando Speed World. It's going to be the 13th, 14th, and 15th, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Baldy always gets a great turnout. I think it's a payback to all the support he gives everyone else throughout the year. And that is confirmed now, from what I understand, for those dates at Orlando Speed World. So that'll good luck to Baldy with that one. And we'll be there to support both Crew Chief and Baldy's races. And I have Quick Rick with Quick Rick Productions on the line with me. He and I are putting together a race the following week after Baldy's on December 21st, the week before Christmas, on Saturday, and we're going to do a race at Palm Beach International Raceway. Rick is a local promoter who's done very well and produced some great races in this area for years and years. He hasn't done one in a couple of years, but he's looking to get back into it, and we partnered up on this deal. And so December 21st, if anyone would like to stick around for the week following Baldy's race, we'd definitely love to have you down at Palm Beach International Raceway, a great facility. And Rick, do you want to throw anything into that race concerning that?
Yeah, well, I'd just like to say hello to all the listeners. First time on the radio, I'm listening to the Bread Man, I believe, and the gentleman that was speaking about all the safety issues, which I'm big on, so it's a great way to start on the telecast of the grudge race, and I've always put safety first. I think I heard some other caller said something about being in the construction business, which I've been in all my life, and safety comes first when you have to wear the hard hats and the hard shoe boots and whatnot to protect yourself. We all have loved ones outside of drag racing, our families, our friends, that I always say that you want to come back the way you came. And that's to have fun, to enjoy yourself, walk away from the tragedies that could happen, that could have been worse. And, you know, it's a great way to come in and listen to all the gentlemen that speaks. And I want to say to the Bread Man, first time of acknowledging your radio show. I think that it's great that you start out with the word from the Lord and then pray about it. I'm big on that as well. And we're looking forward to getting back in the driver's seat of a promoter. I'm just a promoter. Used to be one of the top grudge racers back in the day, unblemished record, but unfortunately that we had to cease that for the time. And I'm working with a great guy, Jimmy Marino, here, and we're looking to get started again.
Well, so anybody who's going to be down in this area, it's a great place of vacation, especially that time of year. If you can get out, you know, following Baldy's race, following Crew Chief's race, you know, we're going to close the year off strong with a good race down here. I've already discussed with some of the big headline racers and stuff about coming down and representing at this race. So we'll make an announcement and some headline races and get some flyers out shortly to everybody, and look forward to seeing you, some of you down at Palm Beach at the end of the year.
Definitely. I would like to say thank you for everything you said, Rick. I'm glad to have you on the show as well. All I'm trying to do is just educate and definitely learn from whatever, you know, we can learn from anyone, I feel. And there's some great callers that have been calling this show and giving their take on things. And that's what I basically enjoy about this show right here. You get to reach out, and when people like Peter and other people, that's Jimmy, Chris, and we've had other people that come on, and Big Drag, and just, I mean, a lot of big name people, and at the end of the day, they put their pants on just like me and you, and that's the irony behind it all. I just like keeping it real. I like keeping it real. I know I can't do what I do without the good man above, and you know, I start my show like that for a reason, because we don't know what someone's feeling, and that's why at the end of the show I ended that way too. So, you know, with that being said, though, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity and listening in on the show. I thank you for that, Rick, and I look forward to your show being a success. Otherwise, other than that, we do have some other races going on this weekend here in Georgia. That's where the Bread Man show is out of, Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I am now, Peter, by the way. I'm not in Florida anymore.
But, oh, okay, I got you.
Georgia at Eatonton Dragway. We have, I think it's called, let me get the name of it. I'm looking at my Hell on Wheels. That's what it's called. Hell on Wheels, August the 31st. Small tie action. guys, get out there. It's going to be plenty of grudge racing going on. It's going to be held at Edenton Dragway. If you like to get in touch with Bacteria or One Star Performance, you can look them up on Facebook, and you can get in touch with those guys, and they'll let you know exactly what's going on this weekend. Otherwise, outside of that, that's all I have as far as the announcements right now. I do want to announce Big Drag Race September. I don't have the correct date, but it is. Chief, if you're out there, press the one button. Crew Chief, if you're out there, press the one button. I don't see you. If anyone would like to promote their race, this is the time now to press the one button and give you, you know, time to promote the race if you'd like to. This is the time to do it. Otherwise, we're going to move forward. Chris, did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yellow Bullet Nationals this weekend in Cecil, as far as class racing goes. And then following up, the following weekend in Rockingham, which is ADRL's Battle for the Belt, which will be a great show, pretty centrally located for everybody. We'll have a couple cars there in attendance and Pro Nitrous. And we've got two guys in the Battle for the Belts in Drag Radio, which is a new class they added this year. So we're really looking forward to that. Big paydays, trip overseas, the race with the Al Nabi Bunch, the top three finishers in each class. So exciting things that are possible through that organization.
Okay.
Jimmy, you got any closing, you got anything you want to add, Jimmy?
No. Any technical
news
questions?
And rumors?
What's
now?
That?
You got any news and rumors anybody wants to put out there? People testing, big things coming, new cars, call-outs. Where do we stand on all that stuff?
I can tell you from my perspective, I've been talking to Dolomite, talking to Stone Cold. I know they're running this coming weekend at Union Dragway for Mario's race for the top sportsman belt.
That's in South Carolina, Union, South Carolina?
That's Union, South Carolina. Myself has told both of them that good luck to both of them. I think they both have a good chance of winning that race. I think it's going to be a great race. I don't think I'll be able to make it, but my deposit will be up to the winner to get a shot at that belt immediately, as soon as they are willing to do it within 30 days of the completion of this race this weekend. So good luck to both of them, and I look forward to seeing the winner at the venue of their choice within 30 days.
I just want to give one of my Drug Racers out of Mississippi a congrats. Scooby Watson in his S10, he went out and won the belt this weekend and had a good showing and ran some career numbers for him. So good job, Scooby and Rusty and all the guys over there in Mississippi.
Good deal.
You got anything, anyone else that want to throw anything in before we shut it down? You can press the one button.
I'm going to take this opportunity to thank you guys for putting me on the show, and I'm going to head out now. I got to get some orders out here at Beyondo Racing, and then we're going to head out to Indy. So, but maybe we'll do it again sometime.
Thank you, Peter, for coming on.
What's that?
Enjoyed listening to you, Peter.
Well, thanks, guys, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right.
Okay.
Peter Bondo, fellas. Man, I really liked it, enjoyed listening to him come in and give his take on safety and everything.
That's top of the
is there any racing. Is there any technical questions that any of the, we really didn't, Chris and I usually do a little more tech talk on car setups and different things with cars, and we talked, we didn't have any set subjects for this week, but is there any technical stuff that any of the callers would like to bring up, ask questions, anything we can help along with,
or any topics that we could suggestions from callers of things they want to hear about moving forward? We always have subject matter to talk about, it something that we're well versed on, but if there's something in particular people want to hear, touch base with Redman or Jimmy or myself, and we can bring up your topic or use it to set the stage for the entire show and moving forward as well.
Well, I'm sitting here. Let me We're going to have a new segment started on the show. You know, I just found him a little cheering. Let me get it set here. You know, if y'all want to call in and call someone out or whatever, I'm not going to be involved in getting in the mixture. All I'm going to do is write down what it is about, and y'all can go from there. Here at Grudge Inc., you know, that's what we do. This is a Grudge Inc. show, and grudge racing is what we believe in, outside of other racing, you know what I mean, that we can be involved in. That's what, you know, that's what we like to do. With that being said, let me punch in my lock-in music here. Tone it down a little bit. And here we go. This music right here makes me get geeked up when I'm in the gym. And I look for push the one button, driver. They got guys texting me, man, talking about they want my ass. So, hey, tell me that on national air. And, you know, this is the lock-in music that we're going to be locking in on. So if y'all man enough, push the one button. You got somebody you want to call out, this is the time to do it. So, hey, Jimmy.
How about you, Jimmy? I know you're driving a couple top sportsman cars until you get your new combination back on track. Anybody on your horizon besides the guys you already said you're going to put the money down to run?
Hold on 1 minute.
The deal there is we're open.
Y'all.
Yes, sir.
Hold up. Got a call. Hold up. 4485. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Bread Man Show. 4485. Hello. Yes, sir. Welcome to the Bread Man Show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. I'm hearing Brandon down here, and I would like to lock in a guy named Chauncey Williams. He told me his motor is at Chris' shop. When will that be ready? Because I would like to lock him in.
ASAP.
How long is that?
ASAP.
Sir?
Excuse me?
How long is that? When can I lock him in?
I would do it right now. Don't get shy with the money either, because I'm right behind Chuck.
Oh, you going to stand behind him?
I'm going to stand behind Chuck.
Okay, sir. Well, I'd like to lock him in. I'd like to lock him in for probably November.
We're not hard to find, so give either one of us a call.
All right, then. Thank you.
There is that November, just throwing that out there. You said November, that November 30th race. It's St. Pete. It's right around the corner from you. Glad to have you there. And if you guys do get that locked up, somebody let me know, and I'd like to, you know, keep track of what locked-in races or help crew chief keep track of locked-in races for that race. So if that's where you decide to do it, we'd love to have you there.
Okay, now, would that track be able to hold bigger tire cars there, sir?
I can tell you this, that they are bringing in, crew chief is bringing in his own prep guy for track prep, and the gentleman he's bringing in has a ton of experience and is able to make some tracks look pretty darn good. So I would say yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I can tell you this. In a heads-up race, I've seen cars and, you know, witnessed top sportsman-style cars as well as pro mod cars go in the 4-0 range, so it's not unreasonable.
Okay, then. Well, this is Sly Fox, and I'm looking for Chauncey Williams. All right, I'm going back on mute.
Very good. Good luck.
All right, nice show, you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller. Got another caller here.
Good.
26.
Just call me, check on
it. Sure,
we are. Missing you.
Hello?
Yeah. Anyone else? You got anyone else looking to lock something in?
Yes, I'm calling because I'm someone who's never raced before. I'm curious about getting into the race world, but it's been a debate whether or not it's better for me to start in a bracket race or try to go a bit faster. But because I'm not sure which one would suit me best, I'm wondering what standard equipment or what should I put as a standard car for me to start out with, just in case bracket racing isn't really what I like to do and I want to go a bit faster after trying it out. Is there a way that we can, I could build a car that will be easily converted from one to the other on a dime?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Definitely there is. One of the things I would suggest, my history is this. Let me tell you where I come from. I went from a 10-second car that I drove on the street that I barely ever took to the racetrack growing up. And the first car I owned beyond that was a top sportsman car, which immediately was a 6-second car. So I made a huge jump, and it worked for me. I don't know that that's the best route for someone else to go, but it did work for me. I think there's a lot out there in these to build a car that would suit around some of these like 650 index classes, which what that means is you go against racers. They have them at a lot of both class events, and they have them at grudge events. They hold these classes that you try to go 6.50 to the eighth mile. If you go faster, you foul out, but the closest person to 650 that crosses the finish line first, which is affected by reaction time, wins. You could build a car easily that would run that type of index that could easily be converted into a competitive grudge race car following that and fit into your class of grudge racing at any time. That is something I would think of doing, is building something like a 650 car. Birdman, what do you think?
That's a great opportunity to build a 650 car. I don't know, caller, if you said something about bracket racing. I would suggest renting a car and go to a local bracket race and just get involved and see about, you know, how you like racing before you invest any money. I'm sure your husband would definitely be upset at you if you came home and noticed that there was money missing out of the account and you went and bought a 650 car. So I would suggest renting a vehicle and going and testing the waters first, and then get with your husband if you're married. I'm not sure if you're married or not, but get with your husband or your boyfriend and see if they, you know, like it as well.
I'm pretty sure that I'm going to like racing. I'm just not, I guess I've never been a super fan of bracket racing. And I understand that that's how a lot of racers start out. But because my excitement just watching the races is a lot, you know, I just simply just get more excited about watching some of the races. The first one down is the winner. Instead of trying to figure out what to dial in, you know, and see if the car goes faster that day or slower. And because, you know, I'm not working with the big budget, so I don't have a way to buy all of the more fancy equipment to help with, you know, winning. So I wanted to find out that if I'm going to put that kind of purchase into a car, I'd rather just go and do something that, you know, I'm going to enjoy watching. So I guess, you know, I hear what you're saying about the, you know, the debate of whether or not it's better for me to find out if I like racing. It's no doubt that I like racing already. I just don't know the speed. I need to feel that speed. I don't know if a rental is going to help me figure out what speeds I'm comfortable with.
Well, the reason I said
I go that speed on the freeway.
I go with Mambo with the it's based upon.
Rick, what do you, Rick, we got Quick Rick still on the line. Did you have some input you want to give, Quick?
Yeah, I would like to ask the caller, what type of car do you have now? I mean, are you any type of high performance vehicle, whether it's factory or something that you built?
No, I'm not. I'm just someone who's gone to so many races with their husband. I've pretty much watched, you know, I've got a chance to experience the difference between a grudge race and a sanctioned NHRA race, an IHRA. And I'm just more prone to the sanctioned races. I wouldn't be opposed to going to a grudge race. I just don't want to do a bracket race. It's just, I guess, you know, when you guys are talking about, you know, building your cars and you make a decision of what you want to do, it's just something you want to do. Doesn't mean you've done it before. You just have an idea of what you want to try. Now, I know that building a car is a lot more expensive to find out what you like, which is why I'm willing to go slower, but I want to get something that is going to be easily converted, because whatever car that I get, whatever route that I decide to go, that's it. I've got to build on that foundation.
Well, I think that's something where, as grudge racers and drag racers, that's where we all start in the very beginning. We go out, it's like going and doing anything else, whether it's sports or anything. You say, you know what, I like football, I like basketball, I like baseball. And you start to ask questions, and little by little, you start to get involved and get comfortable for where you want to be. So the thing it is my suggestion, it's just my suggestion. I started out like you. I mean, I got a blood raw from my parents because my dad was, he was somewhat of a street racer. My mom, who had a heavy feet, and so I got it honestly. But anyways, I would say that if you can take any car that you want, no matter how fast it is, and start getting the idea of the reaction time on the tree, that's going to be important if you want to be a winner. No matter how fast your car goes, if you're in the brackets, then they have to spot you the time that you're running against the other vehicle. And I would say that once you get out there and get that drone and going, you can just take off from there and say, this is where I really want to be. So I think that's a good idea to just get out, get your feet wet, get out there on that starting line and know how to get a good reaction, and you take it from there and you just figure it out.
Sounds like everybody has the same advice as my husband so far, and I'm not liking that whatsoever.
Thank you for calling. We have other callers that we'd like to get on before the show ends. We're running down on time, and we really would like to answer all of your questions, and hopefully we have answered it to the utmost of our ability. If you would, log into grudgeinc.com, and we can answer more of your questions after the show ends. But thank
you
for calling in.
Sure, thank you, Breadman. All right.
Thank you.
We have another caller on the line here. Caller 313-5727. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Breadman Show. Hello.
Hello. Oh, okay. You know, when
they're not paying attention. Well, let me get back to the lock-in music. If anyone else has any other questions or would like to know anything, at this point, we're going to go into closing because we're running short on time now, and I want to make sure that I answered everyone's questions if they have any. This is time to press the one button. He just hit it again. Hold on, he's probably paying attention now. Let me 5727. Hey. 5727. Your mic is hot. Welcome to the Breadman Show. Hello. Cut his mic off. 404-1765.
There you go, bro. There you go. Red man.
Your mic is hot. Yes, sir.
Yeah, bro. Red man, guess what? You and that Selmo Flair, you got the right show for them cats. I'm a killer. I don't think this show going to do me any good, but I'm a straight killer on that track. So what you can do, Red man, is get that Selmo dead on Selmo and get to the track, and we will flush your goddamn ass. You
hear
what I said? Now bleep that out.
Well, sir, hey, let me ask you a question, sir. When are you going to be ready to do something?
We ready now. That's what working on yours, and we working on yours too. So if we ready. Now get that slow ass Sebo shit to the track with your army suit and everything you got. Get it to the track and bust your goddamn ass.
Would you like to do it?
Whatever you got, them get out this motherfucking line. You can do it in the street, track, whatever. Take your Sebo class hands up down here so I can bust your ass.
Nice.
What, sir? Thank you. Tell what you need to goddamn do.
Thank you for calling in, sir. This guy, he don't go.
Man, I'm guessing you know exactly who that is.
I know where I got in. Don't worry about how I got in. I told you where I got in. That's where my peach.
This is what he do best. He calls and harass everybody, and he ain't finna raise nobody.
I got the harassment. Just like I told you. And where I got in your line, that's where I'm going to beat your goddamn ass. You hear what I said? That's where I got on this line. You try to cut me off this line, I get in when I want to get in. Don't worry about how I got in. But I get in when I want to get in. I'm going to get in your ass, your Selmo class ass. When you get that shit to the track. You dead on a cell mode, nigga. I'm going to drag your monkey ass. You tell him that. Tell your guy that he's a cat.
But, man, I'm guessing you had some previous encounters with this gentleman.
Oh, well, no. I've never run him at all. He's doing this for 20 years now. We've been supposedly running each other, but that's what I get from him. Next caller, 708-6980. Your mic is hot. Welcome
bread
to
man,
Bread Man,
Bread Man. In one time what? In your what's happening?
Oh, Don Ye. This is Don Ye, guys. North. Welcome to the Bread Man Show. You see what I go through, Don Ye. It's rough having a show.
Hey, Bread Man, sound like you need some help. Tell that guy to just get off the line so we can lock it in. So I'm going to take up your weight.
Hey, he ain't finna do nothing, trust me.
All right, well, I was just listening on the low, I'm just listening. If you need some help, just holler out at me. I got him for you. I get him up off you.
I appreciate it, Donye. I appreciate it, man. But we were getting ready to shut it down. That's what I go through. They've been telling me that they're going to crash the show and do those things to me, but that's what I deal with from day to day. I want to thank everybody, all of our callers, definitely Peter Bondo. We're getting ready to go in the closing right now. Donya, you still on there, but we're getting ready to go in the closing. Jimmy, we got yourself. Jimmy and Rick, y'all got anything for closing before I go into closing?
No, just searching forward. I'd love to hear some topics that people would like to hear about so that we are make sure we're covering things that people want to, that we possibly can help with. And if it's a topic that we need to get a third party on the line between us, whether it be a transmission guy, a torque converter guy, someone respectable in the industry that has a lot of experience, with contact that Chris and myself have, and you as well, Breadman, we can, if there's topics that people want to hear about, we'll be glad to get the right people on, if it's not us, and address those topics. So please let Breadman know what y'all want to hear about, and we will definitely address the topics.
We got another caller before we go to you, Rick. What is the name? Rick, you're going to be the last one. Hold on, Rick. Let me get this other line here, make sure we're covering everyone. 404-2900. Your mic is hot.
Bread man. Tell Don Ye everybody got some help now.
Hold on, let me open Don Ye mic. I can't just leave him like that now. Don Ye, you heard that, didn't you? Don Ye. One of the customers. I let them know, Chief. I let them know. Hopefully we said something that you liked. You go ahead and start the closing off, nephew. Go ahead and closing on our show. Go ahead.
All right. For all the 5 minutes I've been on, good show, Bread, man. Good show.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. All righty. Jim, go ahead, Jim, in closing.
I think I got mine. Rick, anything you've got?
I just want to say thank you again for allowing me to be a part of the show. Jimmy and Breadman, great show. Might be the first, but certainly won't be the last. And, again, much praise to you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
In closing, I want to thank each and every participant that pressed the one button. It takes courage to get on here and ask your questions, but that's what we're here for. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go into my my food for thought. My food for thought for this evening, or should I say this afternoon, is no matter what we're facing in life, God will be there with us. God will be there with us. Only God can turn our worst tragedies into victories. Remember, your smile can be the source of your joy. With that being said, that is the show, folks. God bless y'all. Have a good week. And if anything, keep your head up out there. This is the Bread Man, one time in your mouth.